Returning to Philippians chapter 2, the book of Philippians chapter 2, and as you turn there, we welcome one and all in the Saviour's name, and we trust that the Lord will bless us as we briefly meet around the Word of God, and then as we get down to prayer. I've been seeking the Lord for the meeting, and for the Lord to give a word, and I believe that He has found here in Philippians chapter 2, and we'll read from the verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Amen. And we'll end our reading at the verse number 16. I'm amazed how I find myself falling into the trap of thinking that there never has been a generation like our generation. And yet I have to remind myself of the scriptural truth that there is no new thing under the sun. The spiritual cycle that often takes place within nations, especially gospel-privileged nations, has always been one of spiritual health to declension, to judgment, and then to renewal, only for the slide into declension to take place again, and the start of the cycle all over again. A reading of the book of Judges will bear witness to that fact. God's people depart from Him. God sends judgment. God raises a deliverer. The people repent. The people are delivered, only for them to depart from God when the deliverer has been removed off the stage of time. And so what we find ourselves facing in the world today, and especially in our province, is part of this cycle of renewal and decline that has marked every generation. Sadly, we must expect days of greater decline as the coming again of Jesus Christ draws ever near. This is not a pessimistic assessment, but rather it is simply an acceptance of biblical truth. Paul reminded Timothy that in the last days, of which we are now moving through, perilous times shall come, and that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. And verse 13. Now all of us are aware that we are not in a time of spiritual advancement within our province. Decline is all around us at many different levels. Morally, spiritually, economically, politically. And if we were honest with ourselves, decline is found in us. Us in a personal sense. Now Paul the Apostle wrote to the saints of God in Philippi. And when he did so, he found these dear saints of God living in a society that is very much like our society. In Philippians 2 verse 15, the Apostle Paul spoke of the Philippian believers living in the midst of a crooked and of a perverse nation. Nothing new under the sun. The society that these believers find themselves living in is very much like the society that we find ourselves living in. Crooked and perverse. Now the word crooked is the word warped or twisted. While the word perverse is the word corrupt or distorted. Now is there anything more crooked and perverse than us being told today that we're all in it together to save lives, but at the same time children are being slaughtered in the womb by abortion under the guise of woman's productive rights. Anything more crooked or perverse than that? Is there anything more crooked and perverse than man marrying man and woman marrying woman? Anything more crooked and perverse than transgenderism being pushed and promoted by militant groups into our schools in an attempt to brainwash us and our children into thinking that it's fine for a man to become a woman and a woman to become a man? Anything more crooked and perverse than the streetwear label MSCHF collaborating with an American rapper in recent days over a custom-made devil-themed Nike Air Max 97 shoes, which featured a pentagram pennant, a reference to a Bible verse, Luke 10 verse 18, which reads, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning, and 60 milliliters of red ink and one drop of human blood in a pair of Nike trainers." Anything more crooked and perverse than pedophilia, now classified as simply a sexual orientation by the American Psychological Association? Anything more wicked or perverse than a nation that believes that fornication, adultery, lying, Sabbath breaking, and cheating, and many other sins is right? Living in such a degenerating society, a society that is getting more crooked and more perverse as each week passes, the question then arises, what are we to do? What are we to do? Well, Paul gives us the counsel to these saints. That is solid counsel, I believe, for us with regard to how we are to respond as we live in our crooked and our perverse nation, just as these people live in. What Paul instructed these people to do could be summed up under two main thoughts. Firstly, he told them what they were to be. What they were to be. In contradistinction from the corrupting society around them, the saints of God were to be different. Different from their neighbours and different from their fellow citizens. Note that they were, and thus we are, to be blameless. Verse 15. Blameless. The children of God are to live in such a way, even in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, they are to live in such a way that they give no opportunity for others to accuse them of doing wrong. Now, the heathens around us think that we Christians are the worst people, but we need to live such blameless lives that our enemies are compelled to confess that we are the best of people, even though we are Christians. Erasmus, the great adversary of Martin Luther, said the following: "Even Luther's enemies cannot deny but that he is a good man." He is a good man. You and I need to conduct our lives in such a way that no one can point the finger of criticism and accuse us of violating the principles and the teachings of God's word. And so the question is, are we doing that? In Luke chapter 1 in the verse 6, we read about a couple. Their names were Zacharias and Elizabeth. And this is the Holy Spirit's testimony concerning this couple. It says there in Luke 1 verse 6, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." Blameless. Now, if it was possible for Zacharias and Elizabeth to live blameless lives in their generation, then, brethren and sisters, it's not beyond our reach or our capability. With the help and with the grace of God and by the infilling of the Spirit of God, to live similar lives in our generation. To live blameless. This is what God wants us to do in this crooked and perverse nation. Secondly, they were and we are to be harmless. The word harmless means unmixed. As a word, it has the thought behind it of being sincere. Not living hypocritical lives. Not saying one thing and then doing another. Because what kind of message does that send out to this ungodly age? What kind of message does such a testimony send out to our unsaved loved ones and friends and neighbours and work colleagues? You see, brethren and sisters, the world might be crooked, but we are not to be crooked. And the world might be perverse, but we are not to be perverse, or to be the encouragers of perversion. Thirdly, we are to be without rebuke. The word used by Paul speaks of one who is above reproach, one who is without blemish, free from defect, like the Old Testament sacrificial animal was, without blemish. That is what we are to be. You see, by living lives without blemish, God's children will stand out all the more clearly against the dark background of this crooked and of this perverse world. The world will go to such an extent and to such limits that they will reach a period and they will reach a point in time where they realize how corrupt and how crooked they have actually become. The words blameless and without rebuke are quite similar. But W.E. Vine makes this contrast in his word dictionary. He said the word blameless means blameless on account of absence of inconsistency or ground of reproof, whereas the words without rebuke indicates absence of stain or blemish. In other words, we may have blemishes in our lives, and which one of us doesn't? And yet, in spite of our blemishes, we can be free of blame. Blame for doing that which is contrary to Scripture. And so, this is what we are to be as we live in the midst of a crooked and of a perverse nation. But having told these saints what they are to be, Paul then proceeds to tell these believers what they are to do. And so let's learn from what Paul tells them to do. Firstly, they were to shine as lights in the world. Verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. In a darkening world, we are to shine as lights. That's why we sang the hymn, "You and your small corner, and I am mine." And the darker the night, the brighter the light. The darker the night, the brighter the light. Christ said that we are the light of the world. And we are to let our light so shine before men that they would see our good works and glorify our Father that is in heaven. And so it is our business to shine as lights in the world. In a dark world around us, we are to be different. We are to shine as lights. Mr. Spurgeon said, if Christian men would give more attention to their shining and pay less attention to the crooked and perverse generation, much more would come of it. Much more would come of it. You know, there are two kinds of Christians. There are those who whine, and there are those who shine. Which one are you? Which one am I? Do you want to see this crooked and perverse generation changed? Then start shining, brother. Start shining, sister. And where are we to shine? When we just come to church? In our homes? There's no doubt they were to shine in such places, but Paul is very specific as to where they were to shine. They were to shine in the world. What kind of world was it? It was a crooked and it was a perverse world. You know, the world can do many things to try and stop the witness of Christ, and they will do. But they can't stop you and I shining. They can't do that. They can try and stop many a thing, but they can't stop us shining. As we shine, the ungodly will come to understand the darkness of sin and the spiritual ignorance that they are in. Secondly, they were, and we are, to hold forth the word of life. Verse 16 goes on to say, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. The cure for a crooked and a perverse nation is found in the acceptance and in the reception of the word of life. And what is the word of life? It is the gospel. The gospel. It brings life to the dead and soul. What we'll see to the recovery of this nation is not primarily legislation on the statute books. Although we long for that, and we pray for that. But rather it is righteousness in the hearts of our fellow citizens. Because whenever righteousness takes hold of hearts, then it will take hold of nations. And that will see to the nation's spiritual reformation and recovery. The answer is the gospel. Have we not learned that? Let me take an example. The pubs for the last year have been shut. The public houses have been shut for probably a year. But I ask you the question, has it stopped drinking? Has it stopped drinking in this province? No. People have went and just bought their alcohol elsewhere. What will stop the scourge of drinking in our nation? The gospel. What will stop abortion? The gospel. What will stop same-sex marriage? The gospel. Men and women changed, transformed by the gospel, and then living their lives according to the word of God. And thus our task is to preach the gospel. It is to hold forth the word of life, praying that as we do so, God will use that word to transform lives, families, communities, and nations. It is the gospel that straightens out crooked, and it is the gospel that transforms the perverse nations of this world, including our nation. It will be the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I ask you, do you believe that to be so? Do you believe in the preaching of the gospel? That it is able to transform nations. Well, if you believe in the preaching of the gospel, then you'll be at the gospel meeting. And you'll be praying for the gospel preaching. And you'll be doing your part to get people under the gospel. Because, brethren and sisters, that's the answer. I'm convinced of it. Wholly, completely. And thus I have given my life to the preaching of the gospel. Because it will be that that will change our nation for the better. Righteousness established in the heart will then outwork itself with righteousness in the nation. That does not mean that we shouldn't do all that we can to see righteousness exalted in the nation And I believe the best way to do that is by the gospel getting hold of lives and changing lives and causing them to leave their sin and thereby cleaving onto that which is righteous and that which is good. You know, brethren and sisters, these Philippian believers, they lived in a nation and in a locality like our nation. It was a crooked and a perverse nation. So what were they to do? They were to be what God wanted them to be. And they were to do what God wanted them to do. This is the Bible's counsel. The question is, will we obey it? Will we live such lives? And will we give ourselves to shining in this dark world and holding forth to all in it the word of life? I trust we will. And I trust that as a result of it, we will see our nation seismically changed through the preaching of the word of God and through many being brought into the Redeemer's kingdom. May God bless these thoughts to our hearts as we get down to pray tonight.